passes. I'm ready. Are you ready?
Hey, my granddaughter works at Wiley's. I can get you a discount. My daughter-in-law, rather.
Okay, I'll go ahead and call us to order this morning, April 22nd, for a regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting. If the audience will join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And it's Earth Day today, correct?
It's what?
Earth Day.
Is it?
I think it's Earth Day. Okay. Public comment number one. This comment period is for public to address topics on today's agenda. Not seeing anybody move towards the microphone. Consideration of minutes from 4:15.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion to second. Any additions or corrections? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. The minutes are approved. Consideration of personnel actions.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. The personnel actions are approved. Consent agenda. We've got a couple of changes. We need to add road closure number 11. Excuse me, 1435.
1435.
And we're going to remove item number 5 because it is a repeat of item number 1. Other than that, I think we're good to go.
Move approval of the consent agenda with noted changes.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. The consent agenda has been approved. Okay, there's no public hearing items. Additional items. Bid opening for April 22nd, 10 o'clock in the boardroom of the Story County Administration Building for the Story County Community Life Re-Roofing Project, CAL.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I'm here with Jeff Harris again from Roseland Mackey Harris Architects. And at 9 o'clock this morning, we received bids for the re-roofing project for COP Administration Building, 104 South Hazel. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jeff, and he'll open the bids and read them off.
Outstanding.
I think you have a bid tab, hopefully.
We do?
Yes, we do.
We only have one bid to open, however, so it should be.
I was meant to get mine in.
Yeah, we had four good local plan holders, and we assumed they would probably all bid, but we really just ended up with a single bid from HPC Construction.
Mm-hmm.
They do have the required bid bond in the amount of 5% of the bid amount. I'm going to put my glasses on so I can read it. Okay, the bid bond is correct. They do acknowledge receipt of addendum number 1 on 418. They have a base bid price of $190,000.
Even?
Yep, okay. 0 cents. And they stipulate a time frame of 11 weeks to complete the work.
Okay. Question to Cal. Timing-wise, is this somewhat reasonable in terms of what you was anticipating?
Well, we were hoping to get it done as soon as possible, but it is a big job, and it's going to take 11 weeks. I guess that's what we're
That's probably the outside. It could be less, but they're building in enough contingency time.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some weather.
Weather issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be the big factor.
Yeah, we did state we would like to see completion by July 1st, or the end of the fiscal year, which this so gets us pretty close to that,
right,
I think. Yeah, I think that's probably what they're shooting for with the 11 weeks.
And if I'm correct, 190 is just a touch over where we were estimating. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we had an estimate from Stecker Harmson of 182.
180. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. We can move to the next item. I think because we're going to have to set a special meeting to accept the low bid. Is that correct, Cal?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And the proposed meeting is this Thursday at 3:30.
And I'll make that motion.
Okay. And I'll second it.
One comment, I won't be here. I'll be in D.C. So, Wayne, you're good for the two of you down?
Yeah. I will. Somebody will have to rope me. I got a full schedule that day. I'll be here. Yeah, or either that, I'll be on conference call or whatever. I'll be here.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to approve a special meeting for this COP roof bid at 3:30 on Thursday, April 24th. Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. We'll have an answer for you shortly after 3:30 on Thursday.
Thank you, guys.
Yep,
good
thank
job.
You.
All
right.
Next is consideration. Approval of Irley Ball Community Mental Health Services FY14 contract amendment for up to $41,163 to assist in ACA transition. Deb.
Shildroth. Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Irley Ball, our community mental health center, has approached all five counties that they offer services in. Regarding some cash flow issues they are experiencing from a couple of different things. One is the Affordable Care Act transition, that those changes took place January 1st. And so Irley Ball is serving individuals that the counties had originally funded, but they're now being funded either through private insurance or through the Iowa Health and Wellness Plan. And there are changes that, excuse me, come with those new payer sources. And so they are working through those changes. They are also working through reconciling cost reports from previous fiscal years. And this is a systematic issue with other providers within the state. And these cost reports for Irley Ball are going back to fiscal year 2010. And so Irley Ball has worked with a consultant and with a new auditing firm on correcting those cost reports, and once they have fiscal year 10s corrected, then they can go through with 11, 12, and 13, and by that time, 14 is probably going to be due. So they are working diligently in that. When the counties met with Irley Ball, we talked about the amount they were requesting. It's a total of $250,000 from all five counties, and the methodology that was used in determining how much each county would be funding is based on unduplicated count of clients being served by Irley Ball. So for Story County, that unduplicated count is 313 clients. And that's how our $41,163 was arrived at. That's about 16% of the total ask. So what we worked out with Irley Ball is they would get a portion of the request now, and then they have to follow through with the steps put forth by Iowa Medicaid Enterprise and the consultant in putting together an action plan on what they're going to do moving forward, because we want to look at a short-term plan and then a longer-term plan. Last Wednesday, the counties met with Irley Ball, and we went through that action plan. And so that part of it, the plan has been developed, and now it's a matter of completing the steps that are outlined in that plan. And as a means to keep up with the progress of the plan, the counties will be meeting with Irley Ball on a monthly basis to discuss what's been achieved, what barriers are encountered, and then what solutions there are to those barriers, and what kind of support we can find for Irley Ball to follow through with this. So this went to the regional board yesterday, addressing all three counties in our region, Warren, Boone, and Story, and it had been approved through that board yesterday. This is coming out of fiscal year 14 contract, and there are enough asset funds within the Irley Ball allocation to cover up to this $41,163. So it isn't additional money. It is within Irley Ball's allocation for this current fiscal year.
But it's just being distributed in a different manner.
Exactly. And that's where the contract amendment comes into play. That's why we have to amend the contract so that we can put this dollar amount into our contract, and then they can draw that down.
Okay. So, and just so I'm clear, and I'm sorry that you're going to have to slow walk me through this. Okay. I just want to make sure I really understand it. So we're not going to pay Ierley Ball any more through asset than we originally budgeted. We're still going to get the services that we said we were going to get from Ierley Ball. We're just going to use a different metric for how and when we pay them.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we'll pay a portion of that now. That amount is $28,814. And then the second half payment, which would come probably in May or June, would be the remaining $12,349.
Okay, and this is to assist Ierley Ball as they cash flow their way into the new system.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. The other thing I want to add to it, too, in terms of our discussion with them on long-term planning, within the Health and Human Services Appropriations Bill, there is language in there that will allow community mental health centers to opt out of completing cost reports and then just go on a set fee for their different services. And those fees would be bumped up a little bit higher than what those cost reports are indicating at this point in time. I don't hear a lot of pushback within the legislature with that language. So hopefully that will go through, and then that takes effect July 1st. So that's something else we're keeping our eye on.
All right, I'd move approval of the amendment for the Ierley Ball services contract, FY14 services contract, for up to $41,163.
A second.
We have a motion and a second to amend the Ierley Ball services contract.
Just want to underscore, Paul, before we vote, and Deb, you correct me if either of these are misstatements. This is no new dollars from the county. These are dollars that we've already budgeted, and this does not change in any way our service expectation from Ierley Ball.
Correct.
And to acknowledge that this was a very good discussion by the regional board yesterday regarding their approval of some funding as well. I think Deb did an excellent job in presenting this. Representatives from Ierley Ball was present to answer any questions that we had. So I think everyone from the regional board felt that with the changes that are taking place and the steps that are being taken to work closely with them, one of the things that came up was could this be looked upon as a potential precedent setting? And we kept in mind that any provider under the changes that are now coming through under the Affordable Care Act plus all the others could be facing some similar situations, but they would be handled at the regional level in the exact same manner, that just because you approve one, you don't necessarily approve all of them. They have to meet certain criteria and certain expectations, but they certainly would be capable of bringing forth requests. And so I think that was handled very well, and I think this would be very similar to how we would operate in any given situation. So.
Well, that's the beauty of exceptions.
Right.
Exceptions, by definition, are not applicable across the board.
Okay, we've had a motion and a second and a discussion. Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. We've approved the amendment to the contract for Ierley Ball.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
We're going to pull the item number 4. They need to make some additional changes to that 28E before it comes. It has to go back to the regional board and then come back to us after that. So that takes us down to discussion and consideration of group dental insurance. I don't think they were quite right.
Melissa, she's here. I don't know if she wants to come forth right now or not. We spent some time this morning, Mr. Chair, discussing this. I've been in contact with ISAC regarding the current rates in the plan. Bill Peterson and Brad Holton are looking into some of the rate differentials. And so I don't know if Alyssa wanted to just on the record talk a little bit more about it, but we may need to have a follow-up meeting so that we can have the information that I think she's requesting from ISAC.
Okay. Rick's going to check on her and see if...
she's on her way.
Okay.
We're moving
too fast.
Yep.
Okay.
We're flying. Yeah.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have Debbie Dean, our broker from Benefit Source, with us this morning to help us go over the information that we got. What started this is I worked with Debbie and to discuss our group dental insurance for our county employees. We've had Walmart Blue Dental for quite a few years. Through ISAC, and I just, you know, as part of our duty in HR, we wanted to make sure our rates were competitive. So we did take a look at our plan and had some other companies quote us the exact same plans and then get that information. I am going to let Debbie talk about it because she's the expert in the area.
Okay.
Good.
Morning.
Morning.
That might be better there. We put the plans out for bid.
It's on. The green light's on.
It's on. Maybe I'm not speaking loud enough.
There you go.
Is that better?
I can hear you.
Thank you. We put the products out for bid. We requested quotes from Principal Financial Group, Delta Dental of Iowa, United Healthcare, Cigna, and Aetna. And the responses from the, and I should include Emeritus in that as well, and Emeritus. We received quotes back from Principal, Delta, United Health, and Emeritus. And Principal was the strongest quote to review. Not just from a pricing standpoint. You can always find a vendor that will undercut current pricing just to buy business, but from a benefit standpoint as well. Principal writes a lot of dental insurance and has for years, and they have the ability to put in what we might almost call, for lack of a better term, a passive PPO, which essentially means that there's a level of benefits if you see a network provider. But they have the ability to go in, and if you do not see a PPO provider, they write it so that they will pay usual and customary in what they call the 99th percentile. And simply put, if you were to look at 100 dentists and look at what 99 of them charge as being usual and customary, that's what Principal will accept as being usual and customary. So it lends itself to provide actually a very strong benefit regardless of what of who the dentist is that you choose to see. So it was very competitive from a benefit standpoint. They looked at all of the Wellmark benefits, matched them as closely as they possibly could. And then they gave us a very competitive price. It's approximately $7,000 less, approximately, than what is being paid right now for dental coverage. And they provided a two-year rate guarantee, which is also an enhancement to the plan. And that was our recommendation of the Delta, the United Healthcare, and Principal. We really think that Principal is a better partner for the county.
Could I ask the question related to the information you just shared? When you talk about looking at comparisons between plans and how they, I'm going to call it maybe a la carte, I'll just say various options that may be more feasible for clients to take a look at because it gives them some various options based on the number of the providers. Under the proposals, I would assume all of these companies, that most of all of the dentists within Story County or within the region probably would accept, I don't know if it's not accept, but are qualified to receive the insurance that we would have for our particular clients, in other words.
Right.
Right.
That broad stroke, yes, absolutely. The dentists in Story County are certainly used to working with Principal Plan Dental. There's no question about that. And, in fact, for many years, Principal actually had a fairly significant office in the Ames location. It was a claims-paying office. And so they actually maybe even got used to it because they had a lot of Principal employees that lived in the Story County area. But the network, they do have a network. Some of the dentists participate. Some don't, I'm quite confident. But because of the way the plan is written, to pay at the 99th percentile, it really doesn't make any difference, really, if the dentist is a participating provider or not. Not really. Now, if you had a plan that was a real specific PPO, and if they weren't a participating provider, they only were paid at, for example, the 70th percentile,
right,
then you really would have a difference in the benefit plans. And then I would say, no, we need to go back to the drawing board. But whether it's Delta or Principal or even United Health, clearly the Story County providers are very used to working with all three of those organizations. So I'm comfortable from that perspective, particularly with Principal and Delta. Delta's a great provider as well, as are all of them, but Principal stood out in that they quoted it at that 99th percentile and they gave a significant price reduction.
Okay, and it's not based on the number of clients that are enrolled?
Yes, sir. Now I think I understand more particularly what you're saying.
Right.
You're saying, do we have to keep a particular percentage of
percentage
our membership
enrolled? Right.
Yes, absolutely. That is the case. We currently have, I believe, on your current Wellmark plan, there is approximately 23% of your employees that are eligible are enrolled in the dental plan. And, yes, the numbers are indicative of us enrolling approximately 23%. Now, there's a little room for variation there. If we have three or four contracts that choose not to enroll and our participation drops very slightly, that won't change the pricing. On the other hand, if you had only half of those currently enrolled enroll in the Principal plan, then we might not want to proceed with Principal or any of them because we would not meet participation.
Okay. Now, my other question relates more or less to, let's just say that if the price estimates were equal or within just a few dollars, just compare plan to plan, currently what we have now compared to the offerings that Principal has, what would be your professional assessment as to which appears to be more advantageous for the employees?
That's the most difficult question.
I know, but I have to ask it.
Yes, sir. That's the most difficult question because they are both excellent carriers. Wellmark is an excellent dental provider. Principal is an excellent dental provider. We really haven't looked at anyone that isn't an excellent dental provider. I would say to you that Principal has an advantage based on the non-network side of the equation.
Right.
They really do. If you are non-network with Wellmark or non-network with Principal, you have an advantage given how Principal has written the plan, in my opinion.
Well, so have our numbers stayed pretty steady?
Yeah, we don't vary very a lot. In the dental.
Plans are pretty similar.
We had them have the same plan
as we can
design.
Them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Differences
right.
in the premium.
And the difference
was
a premium. And we weren't able to, within the short amount of time that I had a chance to try to check, was able to listen in on the call. And from the association's concern, they weren't sure as to why there was a difference between their plan and Story County is at a higher rate. So they were basically trying to look at that to see if they could give us some answers regarding that. Unfortunately, we've not heard back And so part of my question would be is even if everything was as equal as possible, and I know it's a tough call to make, but based on the non-network capabilities or factors, whether this would be a better option for us to consider the fact that you are locked in for a two-year rate, so it means that obviously there's nothing is going to change within that two-year time. So my role is the same as what Alyssa's role has always been, and our role is that when we go out on an annual basis or every 2 years or whenever, we really compare the plans and the options that are there and the overall cost, and if there is a substantial savings, obviously we would want to take a look at that. So I'm a little disappointed that there was this differences, but I don't have a good answer as to why they were different, and I didn't know whether that is something that would make a difference in the final outcome even if the rates were the same. And that's why my question was asked about comparing the two different providers. Because we used to have Dental Dental for many years.
Right.
And then recently, and I don't know how many years ago, it switched over to the Wellmark Blue Cross Blue.
Right. Well, I just have to believe it's our responsibility to offer our employees the best insurance possible at a reasonable rate. And it looks to me, and you guys just helped me to make sure I'm reading the chart correctly, it looks to me like Family Plan 1 between Principal and Wellmark, there's no difference in the rate. I mean, it is our family people on that Plan 1 are going to pay exactly the same, but on the family under Plan 2, they're going to save just over $10 a month. And then on the single, they're either going to save $6 a month, just over on Plan 1, but just over $14 a month for that single plan. I mean, that's substantial. And then if I understand correctly, and just make sure I understand this correctly, not only does Principal offer the same coverage in terms of percentages and deductibles, but that 99 percentile out of plan means that you can go to almost any dentist anywhere, and whatever they charge, it's going to fall somewhere in that reasonable
right.
And that, to me, right. Wayne, is a big benefit. If somebody's traveling somewhere and something right. happens and they need to get in, they can feel fairly secure that wherever they go, it's going to end up being covered. Did I state all of that accurately?
You stated all of that accurately. The only thing that I would say is this. You could run into a balance billing situation if you, for example, were in L.A. And now you're looking at what is typically in Iowa, what is usual and customary all across the state, you know, for a broken tooth might be $300. But in L.A., it might be $500.
Right.
And so you could run into a balance billing situation in certain metro areas of the country.
So that 99th percentile is 99th percentile in Iowa.
Well, and so yes. Technically, they don't state it that way. But what I'm telling you is I believe someone in a high market area outside of Iowa
where they're going to
could find a balance 1%, bill.
Those dang 1%ers.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I would be cautious about that. But in Iowa, the 99th percentile pretty much takes care of every dentist, and even into Nebraska and parts of Illinois and Missouri.
And do you have any figures as to what the actual percentile is under the Wellmark plan is? Do we know?
Non-network.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I could certainly find out. I don't think it's the 99th percentile, though.
Because they were looking at more or less people within the network in order to get that rate.
It's still a good, don't misunderstand me, it is a good non-network benefit. I would never indicate the Wellmark benefit.
Exactly.
But I would just indicate that the principal benefit at the 99th percentile over my years of experience has been about as strong as it can possibly be.
Mm-hmm. Alyssa, recommendation here. Do you need more information from ISAC before we move on, or are we ready to move on?
I don't need more information. I just got the claims about less than a week ago of our dental. I did finally get those broken out just to Story County, and I just don't understand. I guess I just have had a lot of questions as to how our premiums were
developed. The question has been asked.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the question has been asked, and we really haven't gotten a good answer.
Not yet. They're still they're supposed to be calling me back and telling me exactly how our premiums are calculated.
I would think that would normally be something that you could answer. I mean, if I call my insurance man and say, why are my rates so much higher than the guy next door that's the same age as I am driving the same vehicle? They should be able to tell me.
And if they can't, you need a new insurance man.
They can't, you need a new insurance plan. So here we are.
All right. I move that we go to Principal Financial, the principal contract for dental.
I'm not going to second that because I don't know right now. I'm reluctant to do so, knowing that I still have some concerns with questions from ISAC. Okay. But I do think that it would be appropriate for us to take action based on the information that we received. I think right now I would not be in a position to vote affirmative.
I'll second it. Okay. Sanders, or any further discussion?
Okay.
If we can pass on almost $7,000 of savings to our employees and get as good or better benefits, especially once we've already asked the question, I think it's in our best interest. I vote aye.
Toot, aye. Clinton?
A nay at this point.
Approve the change.
And let it be known that my primary reason is because, as you know, I'm in a little different position than you guys. I serve on the ISAC Board of Directors. This is a company that is endorsed by ISAC. I was not able to have the information. I wanted to give them an opportunity to explain it. They were not able to really give me the answers that we were looking for this morning. So why that information is not as clear-cut for counties is somewhat troubling. But at the same time, that's my reservation.
And Wayne, I completely understand where you are, and I would hope that you will take back to the board my feeling. I feel very strongly that if all things had been equal, I would have voted to stay right where we are. But in my mind, not only are not all things equal, but we could not, in a timely fashion, get the answers we needed to get, and that's how I ended up where I am.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Thank you.
Next is consideration of claims. Thank you both.
Thanks. I move approval of claims. Good week. Good 2 weeks.
I'll second it.
Got a motion to second. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Claims are approved. Next is aging reports. Vic Moss from the Emergency Residence Project. Good morning, Vic.
Hi, Vic. Weather's finally starting to turn.
Yeah, it sure is.
I gave you a copy of the monthly board report I turned into our board of directors. This is the information they have requested, and I think it has the information that most people are most interested in. As you can see, we're only three-fourths of the way through the year. You could probably multiply everything by a quarter and add to that if you want to know what a year-end numbers might be. On the far right, I think, are the most important numbers. The other numbers are there. There's a lot of duplications because there will be the same person staying at the end of 1 month, the beginning of the next month. It's pretty good for looking at trends and stuff like that, but the numbers on the far right in bold, I think, pretty much tell the story, and that is the number of nights of shelter that we provided so far this fiscal year, which is 7,362. By the end of the year, it'll probably be closer to 10,000, which would be similar to last year. And the nightly average, 27, we're housing in our emergency shelter an average of 27 people a night. Some of these numbers are in the motels that we lease for extra space. And then in our transitional housing, another 29 people a night. So a total of 56 people a night that we're providing shelter for. In our homeless prevention, we've helped 391 households, which totals about a little over 1,000 people. And so those are pretty much the numbers of what we've been doing. The only complete numbers I have would be for last fiscal year, and this is kind of old news at this point, but we did last year assisted a total of 2,132 people, and this year will probably be similar to that. We provided shelter for 714 people last year, and I suspect that's going to be similar. And our transitional housing will be pretty much the same, too, for the year, 59 people total. I wish I could say that these numbers are similar from year to year because the problem we're dealing with is leveled off, but really these numbers just reflect our capacity. If we doubled our space, we could probably keep those beds full, too. The population we draw from is primarily Story County, but we don't turn people away if they show up at our door and they're from another county. Unfortunately, there's a huge desert of shelter space in the state. In the northwest quadrant of Iowa, I think there are two shelters. And and people find out about us from the internet, from people stay there before. Again, the majority of the people that we house are from Story County. But we refer people, especially to Polk County. We keep their directory right on our desk, and they refer people back. We send people to Fort Dodge and to Boone and Marshalltown, back and forth. So I can't say that we're drawing people in that wouldn't be here because we're sending people away, too, because we don't have rooms. So that's pretty much what we're up to. Any questions?
Your house there on South Kellogg, is there a requirement total or a number of days in a row somebody can stay there? Or
there's a general limit of 2 weeks. Now, there's some flexibility with that. If a person has a job and they're waiting to get their paycheck and needs another week, we'll do that. If a short extension will get somebody into a better situation when they leave, we do that. In fact, with their two-week general, that's really a guideline. Families actually average a little more than a month because it takes at least that long to get a paycheck or sometimes two paychecks or to find a landlord. In many cases, even a month isn't long enough, and at some point we have to remain a short-term shelter because we only have 16 beds, and when you have 700 people arriving each year, we have to keep people moving out. So if they're transient men, which is maybe a third of our population, usually they just stay a night or two. Even though we tell them they can stay 2 weeks, they seldom stay longer than a week. So we can get those numbers into this number of beds because of the population. But for those from Story County that really do need affordable housing, we can't provide that. And that's really our quandary. We're in some ways a short-term solution to a long-term problem. And it's not a Story County problem either. If you look at the statistics, state and nationwide, it's about 40% of renters are paying more than what economists or credit counselors say you should be able to pay, which is generally 30% of your income. And so Ames is a little higher. The last official study had 49% of our renters in Ames couldn't afford their housing. But statewide, it was around 40%. So it's not even that much out of the ballpark. It is really it's a huge problem that has enormous ramifications, and there aren't any easy answers. If there were, I think we would have found them long ago. And I don't see any changes. In Ames in particular, the growth of the university has really been difficult because even the families that we house for up to a year on transitional housing are having a hard time finding a place because landlords simply don't see the advantage of dealing with the government program when they can run an ad. One told me now, he says, I have 40 calls the next day,
right,
you know, during that crunch time when people are looking for places. So there's no reason to have to be inspected and all the stuff that's required for the low rent program. So anyway, I think we're stable enough to predict we'll still be in business a year from now and doing about the same numbers, but I wish that at some point we could still feel like we're kind of turning that corner and going toward more affordable housing. But it's basically a market issue, I think.
It's one of the huge issues that Ames and Vic, I think you say correctly, all of Iowa and really nationwide we face. But here in Ames, affordable housing is a huge issue, and there are no easy solutions. Like you said, if there were. Question I have for you, Vic, and if you can't put your hands on this information right now, I sure understand. But for February and March of this year, it looks like your nights –
have really fallen off dramatically, but meals haven't fallen off dramatically. And just as I look at things, I would kind of tie those two together. Can you walk me through why that would be?
It really depends a lot on the individuals who are there. Because there is a soup kitchen in town, it's called Food at First, across from the post office, they're drawing away a lot of our numbers, and there are some times when we'll have people at the shelter that they decide they have more room there. They like to get out of our building whenever they can, too. So sometimes everybody will leave en masse, and it's made really hard to predict our numbers. Again, I can't explain all of that, but I know that's a big part of it, is that we've fluctuate. If the weather is really bad, we'll probably have everybody. If it's really good, we might only have 3 or 4 out of 15 people.
Okay. And then nights stayed dropping so dramatically from January to February, what would you attribute that to?
I wish I could tell you, but it's been a mystery since I've been there. In fact, our busiest time of the year is in the warm months. Usually
yeah.
July, August, and September are busiest months. And for instance, during an average month or during a midwinter month, oftentimes we'll have maybe 60, 70 people. During the busy months, we might have 120. And I know part of it is that families are more mobile when school is out, so they just sometimes take off for parts unknown and their vehicles break down, or they know somebody here and think it's a great place and get here and realize that the rents aren't affordable. So I know that why there's a little bit of increase, but why single people north during the winter, I don't know, but or don't stay in the south during the winter, I really don't understand.
Dick, do you have any way of quantifying or having any idea of the number of veterans that are maybe homeless that might access the shelter?
Yeah, we probably average maybe 2 or 3 a night out of the total number. It's really a smaller percentage than other studies I've seen. The veterans, there are a couple of veterans organizations that are pretty active. In fact, they've been at a shelter twice this week just to talk to veterans that we had there and trying to get them into programs. But it's nowhere near the percentages that I see in some studies.
Thank you.
Well, Vic, we're so appreciative of what you do. I'd love to think that we had a system where we could work you right out of business, but the reality is it's not going to happen, and the service that you provide is so important and vital, and so we're sure appreciative of all the time you put in.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate the help we're getting, too, because we're not allowed to print money there, and so this is what makes it possible. I mean, it's really ever, and
just check with Wayne. He's always got a few bags.
Yeah, I got a few. It's called funny money.
Yeah. Thank you, Vic.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, I think that's going to take us down to liaison assignments.
Okay. Didn't have any yesterday. We had our regular visioning session, which was outstanding, and so I'll pass on that.
Pass.
A public forum, number 2, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Announcements from the supervisor, Wayne.
Tomorrow, I've just received notice we are meeting again at ISAC with either Rick Schultz or Director Palmer as part of our regularly scheduled time to talk about a lot of the mental health issues. Then on Friday, Thursday is the HRDA board meeting in Des Moines, and then on Friday is the ISAC Board of Directors meeting. So I will be attending and be out of the office during those next couple of days.
Except for 3:30 on Thursday.
Bang.
Pass.
Well, pass. Also, I will say thanks to Leanne and Drew for the work yesterday at the visioning session we had at McFarland. I thought it was well attended. Thought it was a good session, and we Worked pretty hard to get done right at noon. We actually ran a few minutes over, so.
You know, you only started a little bit over, too, so it worked out.
True.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just so glad we're going through the process, and Leanne's put in a lot of hard work. Do need to really, I think, single out Drew and the AEDC for providing refreshments. I mean, that's the way we ensure that Wayne's going to be there, is if we make sure we've got refreshments. So.
Come on, everybody knows that.
He had his bagel, but he had some fruit, too, so.
But no, I don't know, and I'm anxious to get the report because I really felt that the people there really were engaged, and I thought it gave some great insights to things. So I think the whole structure and organization that went into it was well planned, and I'm looking forward to continual.
Second session May 28th at the Extension Building, Christie Hall here in Nevada, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
And I'd take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.